In Exodus chapter 20, we find that the people of God were given the Ten Commandments. If you look there in verse 1, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. In that first commandment, we see that God tells Israel that he is their God. Secondly, before God gives any commandments to them, he reminds them of his actions on their behalf. The Lord had brought them out of Egypt, and it was God that brought them out of bondage. You'll remember they were down in Egypt and they were in bondage under Pharaoh, and the Lord made a way for an escape, and he opened the Red Sea and they came out of that place of bondage. He is the Lord God that rescued his people. It's said of the Egyptians that they had worshipped thousands of gods. And the gods of Egypt were false gods. But unfortunately, there was a temptation for God's people to worship the false gods that were around him, the false idols of the other nations. Do you know that everybody worships something? You will either worship the true God, or you'll either worship a false god or gods. Now you might say, no, I know an atheist next door. He doesn't worship anything. Well, I beg to differ. Many atheists worship at the altar of their own intellect. Many atheists worship at the altars of philosophy and humanism. Even atheists worship something. Psalm 14 verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Man is born to worship. Men are not born atheists. Atheists are simply people that have rejected the light that God has given them. Romans 1 verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. God gives every man light. And when man rejects the light, they become fools. You know that God has given a revelation of himself to every single person that has existed. Not everyone has the full revelation of God's word. There are tribes around the world that still need God's word translated to them in their natural language. There are places around the world where they only have portions of God's word, either in the national language or in the tribal language. But I've got six C's how God reveals himself to us. God reveals himself, number one, through creation. You better listen, because I'm going to give a test in a minute on the six C's. God reveals himself through creation. Secondly, God reveals himself through our conscience. Thirdly, God reveals himself through the Comforter. The Comforter is known as the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, God reveals himself through the canon. Now, there's a canon up the top of the hill there at Fort Scratchy there. I'm not talking about that sort of canon. The scripture canon. The completed word of God is called the canon of scripture. Fifthly, God reveals himself to us through Christ. Jesus is a revelation of God to humanity. And sixthly, God reveals himself to us through the church. So what's the six C's of revelation? Number one, creation. Number two, conscience. Number three, the comforter. Number four, the canon. Number five, Christ. Number six, church. I think Joan got them all right. Well done, Joan. I've got a loaf of bread for you after the service. Let me go through those very quickly. God reveals himself through creation. The psalmist wrote, "The heavens declare the glory of God." When you look at the heavens, God is revealing himself to us. He reveals himself through creation. God reveals himself through our conscience, Romans 2, verse 15. God reveals himself through the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit in John 16, verse 7, said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." The Holy Spirit is working through the world to reveal sin, righteousness and judgment to people. God reveals himself through the canon of Scripture, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." God reveals himself through Christ. John writes in John chapter 1, verse 9, of the Lord Jesus giving light to every man. John 1 verse 9, "That was the true light," John's writing about Jesus here, "which lights every man that comes into the world." There's not anyone that'll be able to say to the Lord Jesus in eternity, "You gave me no idea of your existence," because the Word of God says that Jesus is the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. And God reveals himself through the church. God wants to use you to reveal himself to other people that do not know the Lord Jesus as Saviour. Jesus spoke to his followers and he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Verse 16, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." No one that has ever been born can say, "I know nothing about God. God, it is not fair. You did not reveal yourself to me." God reveals himself to all humanity. Romans 1 verse 21 says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Man rejects God. Everyone is created for worship. Everyone worships something. You look around Australia today and you'll see there are worshippers everywhere. There are people worshipping somebody or something in Australia today. But it's sad that many Australians worship things instead of God. Many Australians worship sport. Many Australians worship career. Many Australians worship education. Many Australians worship money or leisure. And for a number of Australians, they even worship on the altar of self. It's sad. There are some Australians that are even worshipping the environment today rather than the God who made the environment. It's sad to see that there are those in Australia that want to save the trees, not all of them in this category, but there are those that want to save the trees but kill the kids through abortion. At this conference I was at yesterday, it was pointed out that there's an Australian woman who has now been denied insurance. And you might think, well, what's that got to do with what I'm talking about? Well, she was denied insurance because she's got a criminal record. Why has she got a criminal record? Because she was handing out leaflets to expectant mothers that were walking into an abortion clinic. And she handed out a leaflet to a couple that were going to go into that clinic to have an abortion. And she was reported, and it goes on what happened to her. And her case presently is before the High Court. But she has a criminal record because she has stood up for the young. She stood up for the unborn. This is not overseas in the East. This is Australia today. We've lost our reason. We've become a nation of idolaters. You know, here in Newcastle, numbers of children in previous years would have been at Sunday schools right throughout the region. Where are they on Sundays? Well, numbers of children now are sitting behind computer screens on a Sunday. Or they're at sport, or they're at the beach. If you go to Bar Beach in the summer there on a Sunday, you'll see the beach is absolutely crowded with children that are going to nippers. Now, nippers is a good thing. It's a good thing to teach kids how to swim at the beach, but it's more important to teach them how to live. And we need to prepare kids for life, and we need to prepare kids for eternity, and we do that through the Word of God. Numbers of children are led astray on Sundays by all the idols that Australia can offer them. The Lord said to the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Look at Sundays today in Australia. Sunday has become a day for sport. Sunday has become a day for horse racing. Sunday has become a day for shopping or leisure or the club. And for many, Sundays is just another day of work. We've put things first rather than God. We in Australia have lost the sacredness of Sunday, and we've lost the need to hear the word of God being taught. Exodus 20 verse 2, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." Who is the Lord our God? Well, God has revealed himself in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father sent the Son to redeem us. God the Son sent the Spirit to enlighten us. We worship one God in three persons. Every Sunday, every day, in our nation now, people are worshipping other gods. And the other gods will never save the human soul. God in his word makes it an exclusive claim that there is no other God but him. Isaiah 45 verse 5, "I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me." Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, "Hear, O Lord, the Lord our God is one Lord." Our God is a unique God, and our God has made a unique way for people to come to know him, and that is through Jesus Christ. When Peter was preaching in Acts 4 verse 12, he says, "There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." All humanity was made to worship, and true worship is to glorify the true God. And God has manifested himself to our world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all break the first commandment. We all have sinful hearts. We're all prone to wander away from God. Robert Robertson in his hymn said, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above." You know, to love God, you have to know God. And you come to know God by his word. Romans 10 verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Do you know God? You might say, "I know a little bit about God." But to truly know God, you need to study his word. And when you study his word, you'll come to know God reveals himself in the person of Jesus. You'll come to know salvation. You'll come to know the truth about creation, that God is our creator, but that we need a redeemer, and that redeemer is in the person of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for all our sins. Now let's go to the second commandment in Exodus chapter 20. It's concerning idolatry. Exodus 20 verse 4, "You shall not make for yourselves a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." I was an idolater. I was an idolater because I was in the Roman Catholic Church, and in the Roman Catholic Church we had our idols. We had our crucifixes with the Lord Jesus on them. Jesus is not on the cross today. He is risen. We had our statues of Mary and of Joseph and of Jesus and of the other saints. And I, as a young Catholic, would come before those statues and I would bow down and I would pray. I would pray to Mary, who can't hear our prayers. I would pray to Joseph, who can't hear our prayers. I would pray to the saints, who can't hear our prayers. The one who prayer is reserved for is God. So you can't pray to Mary or the saints or Joseph. You can't pray to dead people. God is the one who hears our prayers. Prayers need to be reserved for God. But I used to bow down before the statues. When I went to the Mass is an act of idolatry. The priest holds up the host and he proclaims that he can proclaim that round host, that he proclaims that that is Jesus, that he's turned the host into Jesus. And Roman Catholics bow and kneel down before what they believe is Jesus. They think that Jesus has come down to heaven and he's indwelt the host. That is idolatry. And I was involved with that. But when I became a Christian, I had to get rid of my statues. I got rid of my crucifixes. Because we worship God in spirit and in truth. We don't worship God worshipping statues and bowing down before them. It is absolutely forbidden in the Ten Commandments and throughout the Bible. Exodus 20 verse 5, "You shall not bow down to them nor serve them." We need to bring out the fact that Roman Catholics are involved in idolatry, and we need to warn them. I've got a book up the back and I've got a chapter on idolatry there. If you want to read about how serious it is, I'll give you a lot more Bible verses. If you can take that book and give it to a Roman Catholic, it might make them aware that bowing down before statues and graven images is absolutely prohibited throughout the entire Bible. We need to tell Catholics about the idolatry in their church. We're not to worship stone or timber statues. We are to worship the living God in spirit and in truth. If you read Jeremiah, you'll see that because of idolatry, the Lord sent the nation of Israel into captivity. And God sent them into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar, he's involved in taking them off to captivity. And they go into Babylon for 70 years. And one of the reasons why they went to Babylon for 70 years is because God wanted to cure them of their idolatry. Jeremiah 25 verse 6. "Do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them. And do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands. I will not harm you." Verse 7 says, "Yet you have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurts." Idolatry provokes the Lord God to anger, because idols are not a true representative of who God is. Go through the Bible and you'll see multiple warnings of idolatry. The Christian faith in the early church was opposed to idolatry. In Acts chapter 19, you read about Paul, and Paul's ministry was in Asia, and it was in a place called Ephesus. And the preaching of the Apostle Paul had an effect on the city of Ephesus. Acts 19 verse 23 says, "And about that time there arose a great commotion about the way." Well, who's the way here? Well, the way was the name given to early Christians. They followed the way. Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. So they were known, instead of Christians, they were known as people of the way. But the people of the way were stirring up Asia. The Apostle Paul was stirring up the city of Ephesus by his preaching. And his preaching had the effect of people leaving lifeless idols for the living God. In fact, the whole economy of the city of Ephesus was being affected because of Pastor Paul's preaching. Idol makers were losing their business. People were abandoning their idols. And people were responding to Christ because of what Paul said. Oh, how we need idol-destroying, powerful preaching in our nation today. That's what we need. Our nation is full of idols. Our people are captivated by the false gods and the false idols and the false philosophies of our age. We are a nation that is captivated by idols. The idols of sport, the idols of leisure, the gods of entertainment, the gods of self, the gods of career, the gods of education and philosophy and humanism, the gods of money and materialism, the gods of pornography and sexual indulgence. We are a nation that needs Paul-type preaching, preaching that destroys the idols of our time. Where are the people in churches today? Where are the people in the nation today that are fleeing from the idols of this age? Praise the Lord for those people that will stand for truth at the cost of everything. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he told them to flee idolatry. Christians are consumed in many places with the idolatries of this nation. I heard about an Indian Christian that came to Australia, and he was spending time with Christians. I think it was over a couple of weeks, and he got a chance to speak at a pastor's conference. And the Indian Christian got up at the pastor's conference and he began crying. And he said, "Can you please tell me, what is the difference between Christians and non-Christians in Australia?" What an indictment upon our nation. He couldn't see the difference. Well, there was a difference in Asia Minor. There was a difference in Ephesus, because the people that came to know Jesus Christ as their Saviour, they fled their idols, and the economy of Ephesus was so affected that the merchants began to complain. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he told them to flee idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 14, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." In the book of Colossians, he said, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." When John wrote to the early church, he said, "The whole world lies in wickedness. Little children, keep yourselves from idols." I guess the most famous idolatry passage is in Daniel chapter 3. Three young men had a choice: bow before the idol of the age or burn. That was the choice. And they come before Nebuchadnezzar. And if you don't know the story, Nebuchadnezzar, on the plain of Dura, had erected this huge golden statue, this huge idol. And the government of the day gave out the orders that everyone, when the music plays, They've got to bow down before the golden statue. And there were three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And those three boys knew that the Ten Commandments, they would have known what the Ten Commandments teach, and they knew that they were not to be involved in idolatry. Bow or burn. And they decide amongst themselves, well, we'd rather burn than bow. And they come before Nebuchadnezzar. And they say this to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, remember, Nebuchadnezzar is the most powerful figure in their worlds. The most powerful figure in Babylon. The most powerful figure that people thought existed. But they knew there was someone that had more power, and that was God. But in that world of powerful Nebuchadnezzar, they come before the king in their disobedience, and they say this, Daniel 3, verse 18. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. They didn't buckle under the king's threats. They didn't bow before the king's idol. And they didn't burn in the king's furnace. God was with them. And when you read the book of Daniel, you find that there was one that had the appearance of the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar looks into the furnace, and there is a fourth man walking amongst the furnace, and the fourth one has the appearance of the Son of God. I believe that was a pre-incarnate Christ. He didn't prevent them from going into the furnace, but he was with them in the furnace. The Lord Jesus says in the book of Hebrews, I will never leave you nor forsake you. They didn't bow. They didn't bow. And they didn't burn, because the Lord was with them. Oh, we need believers today like those three Hebrew young men. We need believers today that will not bow before the idols of this age. We need believers that are willing to even, perhaps if it takes burning, that they're going to burn, then we need believers that are willing to give their lives. And there are believers today, even around the world, that are giving their lives for the Lord Jesus because they won't bow to the idols of their country or they won't bow to the idols of their age. We need people that are captivated with the love of the Lord Jesus and will not bow to man's idols. We need believers that will not buckle under the pressure of this age. We need believers that are willing to face the fiery furnaces of today because Jesus is their King and Jesus is their Deliverer and Jesus is their Comforter in every trial that he allows them to go through. We need believers today that flee the idolatry of the age, and we need idol-destroying, powerful preachers that declare God's truth in this idolatrous age. The psalmist said, Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? A preacher in America of the past, whose name was Adrian Rogers, a Baptist minister, said this of idols. What is an idol? Anything that keeps you from loving God, knowing God, serving God. Anything that comes between you and God. Anything at all that becomes between you and God is an idol. We need to pray. Lord, is there idols in my life? Lord, are there idols in my heart? Lord, is there anything that is keeping me from loving you and being an effective witness for the Lord Jesus? When Jesus witnessed to the woman at the well, he said, But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let me pray. Lord, we live in a nation that has so many idols. And Lord, we need the Shadrachs, Meshach and Abednego's, Lord, that will stand against the idols of the day. Help us to be like them. Help us to examine our hearts to see if there's anything that keeps us from loving God, knowing God, or serving God. Anything that comes between us and the living Lord Jesus. Lord, would you raise up idol-destroying preachers throughout this nation? We need preachers, Lord, that will turn people from dead idols to the living God. And Lord, would you raise up believers in every church that stand against the idols of the day? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I heard an old, old story, how Satan came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love
that keeps you from loving God, knowing God, serving God, anything that comes between you and God. Father, keep us from the idols of this age. Help us to inform others of the idols of this age. And Father, we pray for this nation, caught up so much in idolatry. We pray, Lord, that you might revive this nation again, that your people may rejoice in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.